thank you in Jesus' name for all that you're doing here at Calvary Chapel, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We dedicate this entire time to you. And Lord, I just pray that there's no disturbances and that the texting, unless it's done for your glory, Lord, and that the texting and the Facebooking and all the rest of that stuff stops unless they're using it to for their Bibles and so forth, Lord. But we do lift up Kay to you and all the family, Lord, as I know they're meeting in just a little bit to talk about the plans for the funeral. And Lord, we're thankful for all Joseph did here at Calvary Chapel. And we just pray that you now, as I know you already have and are doing, comforting their hearts. And we lift up our precious Anna to you, Lord, for that healing in her body. Give doctors that perfect wisdom and guide them in all that they do to make her perfectly sound and whole. We also, Lord, pray for Mary, Kevin and Amy's mother, Lord. Just being with especially Mary, but also with Amy, Lord, the decisions that she is making about her mom. And Lord, we just pray for that. And we also pray for Becky, my wife, just be with her, strengthen her right now, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the word of God that you've exalted above your very name. Help me now. Teach it faithfully and accurately. May every ear be open to your divine truth. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. God is good. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15 this morning. We're going to be beginning probably, verse 17. Remember, we're in the upper room. This is Jesus' farewell message to his disciples before he goes to the cross. It is late into the night. It won't be long, and he'll be crossing the Kidron Brook, and then he will be betrayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane by Judas Iscariot. And so this morning, as we look at these words, it's important to remember where we left off. Jesus commanded the disciples. He commands us as well. In verse 17, he says, "This command I command you, love one another." Love one another. You know, any church, any individual, any person who names the name of the Lord or calls the Lord his or her Savior, if they are not obedient by God's strength and God's grace to this scripture, and of course, John chapter 13, 34 and 35, the new commandment to love one another as Christ has loved us, I find it very difficult, and so should you, if they're really walking in the Spirit. Amen? Because see, that's what defines you, and that's what defines me. Is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us as we touch other people's lives. You know, this morning we're going to talk about why the world hates Christians, why they want to persecute Christians. I mean, what's the answer behind all of that? Have you ever noticed that the moment that, say, in your workplace or maybe in your high school or your college or whatnot, or even in a family member, the moment they recognize you as not being of this world anymore, meaning that you are now a believer in Jesus Christ, have you ever noticed how their attitude toward you changes? They're guarded. They're skeptical of you. You know, persecution is real. Now, in our nation, we're not really experiencing the persecution around the world. You go to India, you go over to the Middle East, it is horrible, the persecution against Christians and the hatred. You know, it wasn't too long ago, a radio listener gave me a phone call. And this young man who worked at a construction site for years, he'd been working there, but he came to Christ, decided to go to Bible college at night, and they so persecuted him for one straight year. I mean, every other word was the Lord's name in vain. They would curse Jesus just for the fun of it on the job. They would mock this man. They would show him pictures out of Playboy magazine. You cannot imagine what this kid went through. So one day, it was so horrible. At noon, he left for lunch. He got into his car. He said to himself, "I'm driving home, and when I get home, I'm going to kill myself. I cannot take this anymore, this persecution and this hatred." And he turned on the radio, and I was on the air, and he listened to that sermon. When he got home, instead of killing himself, he called me on the phone and said, "Listen, God just set me free." You know, listen, persecution is real. Do you understand? It can happen. And sometimes in certain venues in our nation and wherever you may be working, the fact is it can be quite severe. But it's not like it is around the world. So with all that being said this morning, as we look at our text, why does the world hate Christians? Let's look in verse 18. Jesus now moves from the command in verse 17 to love, and he uses the word now hate seven times. So that means whenever the Lord uses or the word is mentioned seven times, I always look at it as a perfect hatred because seven is the number of the Lord. He uses it often throughout Scripture. So this perfect hatred and this perfect persecution, Jesus says this in the upper room, hours before his death, he says, if the world hates you, and may I add to Scripture, it does hate you, okay? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, when Jesus uses the word world, you know and I know that he's not speaking of the beauty of the world and our nature or, you know what I'm saying, trees and so forth. He's talking about a world system that is anti-Christ, that is a world system that is totally against God. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 5:18, it says, we know that we're of God. We know our position. Thank God. Amen. But it says, but the whole world system lies in the sway or the arms of the devil or the wicked one. So whenever we use this word world here, we're talking about a world that doesn't recognize God, that lives independently of God, that is organized against God. They don't desire God, nor do they believe in God or the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, their whole lives are empty of God and Jesus. In other words, they live with God left completely out. So the same world, Jesus says, that hates me, it's going to hate you. Now, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of this world, and look how it happened, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad that you're chosen? My goodness. You know, we have Jesus said, I've given you my peace. I've given you my full joy. And he says, but I've chosen you. I've chosen you to do a job. I've chosen you out of this world. I'm so thankful that we don't belong to this stinking world. Now listen to me. If the world loves you and you call yourself a believer, then you might want to check out your walk. Amen? Okay, because Jesus here said, no, they're going to hate you. Listen, we don't want to love the world that Jesus has rescued us out of. Amen? No, not at all. See, we are the branches. He is the vine. When you plug into the vine, loved one, in other words, when you live in verses 1 through 17 that we covered last Sunday, you know what? You're going to live differently. And when you start living differently because Christ is in you, the hope of glory, all of a sudden everything changes in your life. People, they don't love you like they, you know, and so forth. Some of them are going to hate you. And what they don't understand is that since we are plugged into the vine, Jesus said, I chose you that you would bear fruit. Bear fruit. See, the fruit that we're bearing is not just Christ-likeness for us. It's for Christ-likeness for those in the world. In other words, we're saying, listen, we're here. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And so we go into the world to share the good news of Jesus. And they don't even know it. And they don't even believe it. So Jesus chose the disciples. He chose us out of this world. To be chosen, remember, as I said last Sunday, is not divine privilege, but a divine purpose. There's nothing worse than a self-righteous believer. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing worse than an obnoxious Christian. There's nothing worse than a Christian that tells the lost that they're just a dirty, filthy, no good, da-da-da-da-da. Listen, they can't live any other way than lost. You have to be born again to live differently, amen? They're not a new creation. We're a new creation, all right? But the fact, that's why they hate us and so forth. See, but if you're going to be hated, like I've always said, be hated for the same reason Jesus is hated, all right? All right. Now, you're chosen out of this world, the world that we live in. And that means that this place called America or Earth or whatever, it's just not our home. We have no continuing city here, but we're looking for one to come. Amen? See, we're citizens, the Bible says, we're citizens of heaven. The Bible calls us a lot of things, calls us pilgrims and sojourners and foreigners and aliens and so forth. Why? This is not our home. Chosen out of the world means we do not do some things. Like in 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is not of the Father, meaning the world system. All that is in the world is not of the Father, okay? He says, but the world is passing away. This world that we live in right now is not going to last. It is passing away. I'm so thankful that we belong to God. Amen. This world that we live on right now, this little speck of dust in the Milky Way, loved one, it's not going to last forever. He says, oh, the world is passing away and the lust thereof. You may remember? It says that the world lives by what? The things that are not of God, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Those things are not of God. Okay, they're of this world. But he says, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. You see, we don't love this world. Not only that, it says in James 4:4 something else that we don't do. It says adulterers and adulterers. You know, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or hatred toward God? He says, listen, we don't love this world. We're not friends with the world system. We don't live like the world. Amen? That's because we are born from above. Another thing that we do about the world, it says in Romans 12:1-2, remember about presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Paul tells us, and do not be conformed. That word means to squeeze into something, to squeeze into the mold, if you will. Do not be conformed or fashioned by this world. We don't live for this world. The world doesn't tell us how to dress. The world doesn't tell us how to act. Amen? We don't live for the world. We don't live for the things of the world. We've overcome the world because we're in Jesus. Amen? It says, so do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, the key word for the world, in other words, the heart of the world system, they love this word, conformity. In other words, conform into the image of whatever the world is saying at the time. Live by the world's values and so forth. You know, the united cry of the world, no matter where you are outside of Christ, is always going to be conform. In every generation, it doesn't matter, that word never changes, okay? So if you accept the world's values and what they believe, and they tell you to dress this way, act this way, do those things, or whatever they want you to do, they're going to accept you. But you know what? The very moment that you tell anyone in the world that their lifestyle is wrong, or they shouldn't be doing that, or that their lifestyle is sinful, or they're going to say, God, thank you so much. I needed to hear that. Thank you. I shouldn't do any of those things. I don't know how I messed up. Is that what they're going to say? No. You know what they're going to say? Hey, are you a Bible thumper? Are you a Jesus freak? Huh? Come on. They're not going to like you. They're going to say, who are you to tell me anything? You know, you do-gooder. You're just a hypocrite. You know how it is in the world. Amen? That's what they do to us. Listen, they're going to persecute you. We live in a nation that you love and I love, but they live under the illusion, people do, that this nation is governed by God. But it's not governed by God. It's not governed by God at all. If that were really true, then our Congress, the House, the Senate, they would be passing laws that do not legalize sin. Do you understand? I'm not being critical. I'm being honest. It doesn't make a profit to know that, to make sin legal. No, that's what our nation has done. You know, what does God say in his word? He says in Isaiah, he says, woe to those. Woe is a bad word. Go look it up in the Hebrew. You know what that word means in the Hebrew? Woe. Woe to those, in other words, who attempt to destroy God's standards of right and wrong. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. In other words, when man says, I'm wiser than God, the creator of all things. You know what Jesus said, why the world, the main reason for the world's hatred toward Jesus? He told us back in John 7:7, he says, because your works, the works of this world, they are wicked, they are evil. Now look what he says in verse 20. He says, remember the word that I said to you. Now they're in the upper room. He says, I want you to go back. What he's really saying, go back to just a couple of hours ago in John 13. He says, I want you to remember the word that I said to you during the foot washing, okay? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, and we know that they did, they will also, what's that word again? Persecute you. Look that word up in the Greek. You'll find out that that word literally means to pursue as a wild animal, to go after, to hunt down. They're going to persecute you. They want to get rid of you. They don't like the word Christian, okay? They're going to persecute you if they kept my word, but they didn't keep Jesus's word. They will keep yours also, but they didn't. Now, question. You know, ask yourself this question. Every believer should. Do I really want to be like Jesus? I know that each of us would say, absolutely, we love the Lord. We want to be like the Lord. We want to love like him, forgive like him. But if I ask you another question then and said, okay, you want to be like the Lord, but do you want to be treated like the Lord? Do you want to be persecuted? Do you want to be hated? Do you want to be betrayed? People hate you for absolutely no reason. Did you know that? Now, if you're obnoxious, I don't even like obnoxious Christians. I'll persecute you. No. You know, it's so amazing how the world, they see, if a person is not born again, the moment that they realize that you are a believer, okay? The moment that happens, they have a preconditioned idea of who you are, what you represent, and they have a broad general idea that all Christians are just hypocrites, or they're always sticking their finger and say, you're a sinner, you're this, you're that, da-da-da-da-da. And part of that is true. But, however, they sometimes just look at you and they just don't like you. You know, it seems like, I don't know why, the Lord is always the people that live on my block. Now, everybody knows that I'm a pastor. And, you know, I told you the story about, he's no longer with us. His name was Michael. And this guy lived right across the street from me. And he hated my, I have magnolia trees, you know, and they shed. I hate them myself, but they're mature. I'm not going to cut them down, all right? But all, you know how those leaves fall all the time. I mean, they get all over the neighbor's yard. And I told you, remember what he did? He took a trash can of those leaves and dumped them right on my front porch by my front door. And I opened the door. I said, Michael, what are you doing? These are your leaves. Now, where'd you get them? Out of my yard. One night ask my wife. One night he put a pile of magnolia leaves, those, you know, they're dry, you know, and I'm talking about, he was about this high, you know, and maybe 6 feet wide. He was always drunk. I'm sorry, but he was just wasted all the time. Went in there and got a big gasoline, what is that called? Container. Poured it all over those leaves. I'm sitting there looking out my window, you know, going, what is this guy doing? He's smoking a cigarette, throws it in there. I'm telling you, you thought it was a sonic boom that went off. You don't understand? Police came, fire department, you know. He just hated me. He wanted to fight me. Do you think I'm kidding? Ask my wife. One day I walked over there and I said, Michael, everybody in this neighborhood, they hate you. I said, you sit outside in a lawn chair and you stay drunk the whole day. And I said, you're in those, what do you call those, that you swim in? Speedos. He sat out there in his Speedos, man. That's the only thing he had on, and a can of beer. And he would sit right there in the driveway and just, you know. And I went over, I finally said, okay, I've had it. I said, Michael, listen. I said, those Speedos, they don't fit you. Now, I said, you can't stay drunk forever. I said, Well, I used to go to church. And I said, well, don't you think it's about time you get back in church? I said, do you know that Jesus loves you? He loves you with all of his heart. I said, Michael, you're making a disgrace of yourself here. You're hurting people. You're yelling at them. You're cussing them. I said, all the widows on this street, they're afraid of you. They're afraid to even come by your house on a walk. He looked at me. He says, thank you. Went back inside the house. He lived with his mother. He was about 50-some-odd years old. Next week, you know what he did? I saw him. He had a suit on. Went to church with his mother. Got right with God. Came over and said, I just celebrated communion. The next week, he died. You see, you know, persecution is real. But you know what? We win. If we don't win, we'll win in heaven. Do you understand? Persecution is a real thing, loved one. And, you know, sometimes we don't understand. They just don't like you. But what it is because you have the Lord living in your heart. Jesus said, listen, you're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. I don't want to be persecuted, and I don't want to be hated. I want to be loved. Hello, I want to at least be liked. You know, but the fact is the American church today is so different than the churches around the world. Listen, we think that we are supposed to have a life that without trouble-free, no problems, and surely, I mean, this is America, by golly, sure, we're never going to be hated. Well, you know what? That's not the true reality of the Christian life. And the only way for us to prepare for any form of persecution, light, mild, or heavy, okay, is that we have to be serious about God's word. Jesus said, you're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. And we prepare, again, for persecution by taking God's word. Say, okay, Lord, there it is. I'm taking it for granted. This is it. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 21? He was talking about being betrayed. Who wants to be betrayed? But listen to this, what he said in 21:16 of Luke. You will be betrayed even by parents, moms and dads. By brothers, you'll be betrayed. Relatives are going to betray you. Even friends are going to betray you. And some of them will put you to death, and you will be hated by all by my name's sake. Can you imagine being betrayed by those that you love, you grew up in the same house with, and they betray you? Think about that for a moment. Dear Lord, I don't want that to happen. But you know, Jesus said it could happen. It's that Timothy told us, or Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, I think it is, or 2:12, or 1:12, or 6:12, or something. 3:12. All who desire to live godly in this life, meaning Jesus is your Lord, you live like him, will suffer persecution, some form of persecution. You know, the Bible tells us, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, listen to this, he said this in Philippians 1:29. He says, for to you, or because to you, it has been granted. That word granted literally means freely bestowed as an incredible, gracious gift, okay? He says, for you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to just believe in him, here comes this word, but to also suffer for his sake, not your sake, but for his sake, amen? That word suffer there has nothing to do with sickness. It's talking about persecution and being hated for Christ's sake. So we prepare by believing God's word. Amen. Remember when the disciples in Acts chapter 5, I believe it's verse 40 and following, they were forbidden to teach in the name of Jesus, and they were going to kill him or lock him up and so forth. And Gamaliel told him and said, listen, guys, he said, listen, if this be of God, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. But if it be of man, you know it's going to fall apart. And so the religious rulers took the disciples and they scourged them and they beat them. And I mean, they literally, the word beaten that's used in Acts 5:40, meaning they skinned them with the whip. And I mean, that's pain. That's horrible. That's terrible. And yet, do you know what they said when they were released after they'd been beaten like that? It says that they departed in Acts 5:21. It says they departed from the presence of the Sanhedrin, the council, rejoicing. Now, they didn't go, well, I'm never going to serve the Lord again. I quit. No, they were rejoicing. Why? That they were counted worthy not to be beaten, but to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Boy, what a mindset, what a heart set. You know, John says in 1 John 3:13, he says, do not marvel, don't be surprised, don't be blown away if the world hates you. You know why we don't need to be blown away? They don't hate you, they hate Jesus in you. Do you understand? That's what it is. When they look at you, they go, you know, you're different. Well, of course you're different. When they want to persecute you because they don't, not you, it's because they see Jesus in you. You know, it's that lifestyle. Jesus said in Matthew 5:10, he said, blessed are those who are persecuted, here's the reason, for righteousness' sake. In other words, for their lifestyle in me. You know, I don't know why I always, people, you know, I think that people look at my face and just think that I don't know what they think, or maybe that I look mad. I don't really know, but I'm not mad. I'm very happy, and I'm very joyous. But just this week, I mean, just this week, you know, it's funny. See, I'm preaching on what, I hear him, and guess what happens? Persecution. So my wife, Rebecca, she's driving home, and a car gets behind her on our street. And she's driving, it's in a residential, just children, you know, driving home, just normal. He's behind her, right on her rear, you understand? But he's going like this, weaving in, weaving out, weaving in. Well, you know, would that scare a woman being alone? Yes, it would scare me. She turned to go to the house, he turned right behind her. Then she turns to go into the driveway, and then he speeds right by her, and then he pulls in the house right in front of our house. So then I get home, you know, and she says, let me tell you what happened. And then I said, oh, I said, he doesn't like you. And he doesn't like me because he knows that I'm a pastor, and I know that what he's doing, he knows it's wrong. And he thinks that I'm judging him, and I don't even know his name. Are you listening to me? So I go out the next day. It was my day off. I'm not going to tell you what that day is. You might call me. And so it's time to get all the leaves out of the yard. You understand? So I'm out there getting all the leaves up. So he comes out right on the curb. He's a big guy. He's also young. But you know me. Right? Yeah. So I knew that he wanted a piece of the pastor. Do you understand? I mean, if every time I look at he, that, you know, he just wanted to egg me on, and I would not yield to it. I wanted to go over there and love him, you know? But I didn't do that. But there was in me, you know? And I knew, I said, here I am, Lord. I'm preaching about being hated and persecuted, and now I have the example. Thank you. You understand? Nothing like a little, you know, visual there for, you know. But you know what? I'm praying for him now. Every day. I prayed for him early this morning. So Lord, save that person. Give me the opportunity to see a Christian, not someone's going to beat him up. Someone's going to say, listen, I know you're going through things in your life. God loves you. God wants to help you. I don't condemn you, man. Who am I? I'm not your judge. Amen? Listen, persecution. That's why Jesus says, look at this now, but all these things that they will do to you, persecution, hating you, and so forth. Why? For my name's sake. Why? Because they do not know him, meaning God the Father, who sent me. Listen, why are we persecuted? Why do people hate Christians, the world? It's because we're persecuted and hated because the world doesn't know God. They don't know Jesus. Listen, if you ask the religious rulers and some religious people today, do you know the Lord? Well, they say, of course I do. I know, absolutely. But the fact is, the Jews of Jesus' day and even people today, religious people, they know all about God, but they don't know God at all. You see, that's why Jesus was hated. Remember what Jesus told him in John 8:37? He tells the Jews, he said, okay, I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you want to kill me. And here's why. Because my word, meaning my word, but also the old covenant, the Old Testament, has no place in you. You have the Word of God, but you hate me, and the Word of God, the Scriptures testify of me. In other words, Jesus said, they speak of me, but they didn't get it. Why? They don't know God. They don't have any love in their hearts at all. No, listen, he also told him, he said, listen, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you don't hear. And the reason? You're not of God. You're not a believer is what he was telling them. Listen, the root cause of hatred in this world against Christians is ignorance. They don't know God the Father who sent God the Son. Amen? They just don't get it. And most persecution, it really comes from people, you know, that are somewhat religious at times, you know? Think about it. I mean, have you ever been persecuted by someone in the church? Yeah, that's wrong. That should never be happening. We should never persecute or hate one another. We should love one another and help one another. Amen? You know, I told you this story not too long ago. Becky and I, you know, we took a break and we went out to a cabin in Oklahoma to pray. You know, that's, I don't know where Oklahoma is, but it's out of the glorious state of Texas. And we were in this, like, I mean, couldn't have been, I don't think there was 800 people in this little place where we were at. And so we were saying, well, let's go out and maybe find something to eat, you know. And so she Googled and said, oh, here's a 5-star restaurant. And so we head out. And, of course, there's probably only 2 restaurants in town. And, you know, we head out. And I'm not condemning it, that, or anybody in Oklahoma. If you're from Oklahoma, I love you. Well, I'll take that back because you beat TCU yesterday. Oh, the Lord, why did you remind me of that? And so we pull in. I said, honey, that didn't even look like a restaurant. I said, the shutters are all broken. The windows are dirty. There's no, you pull up on gravel, you know. I said, the sign is, half of it works, half of it doesn't, blink, you know. This says 5 stars. I said, and this area is kind of, if you've ever seen the movie Deliverance. Okay, so we walk in there, and here I am. Listen, I don't have anything religious on. In other words, I don't have a Christian T-shirt, none of those things. And Becky doesn't either. I have my hat on from TCU. I have a TCU hat. I don't know if that was it or not. But anyway, I walk in. We go to a booth, and I said, well, it's kind of nice in here. And I'm looking around, and I look, and there's 4 young men. Their teeth are gone. Right over there in that booth. And I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did wrong. But I'm telling you, they stopped eating when Rebecca and I sat down. And they started looking at me and chiding and just laughing and mocking. And I'm going, oh, God, here I am. You know, and I'm an old man. If I was only young again, I'd just love them. So this is true. I said, Rebecca, listen to me. I said, you see that sugar shaker? You know, the sugar, the old sugar jars that you fill your coffee with? I said, it's made out of glass. I did. And I said, now listen, these guys want trouble. They want, I don't know what I've done to them, but they want to come over here and beat me up, and they can do it. I said, you have a fork? I have a fork. It's a true word. You ask her. I said, when they come over here, I said, if they lay one hand on us, we have to be like Bruce Dern and go crazy. You know that actor, Bruce Dern? Yeah, man, and I was ready. I had that sugar jar. Boy, I was going to. And so Rebecca goes, honey, I said, yes. Don't look at them again. I said, that's wisdom. So I just looked at her. And I didn't even look until they went out the door. And when they finally went out the door, then I followed them, you know. I thought, you think they're going to go out there and wait for us when we leave? I don't know. Do you understand? I know what was wrong. Why did I tell you that story? Because sometimes they see you. And it's a spiritual thing. Do you understand? See, you remember what it says in Peter, whenever you go through a trial, it says the Spirit of glory, the glory of God is resting upon you. The Lord knew when I walked into that crummy cafe. I had the best fish I've ever eaten in my life, by the way, that these guys were waiting on me. And, you know, it wasn't because they hated me. They hated what was in me. There's something. The Lord is with you. Goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life. You walk in. You are the salt of the earth. Amen. You're the light of the world. And there's something that happens when you walk into a place that is defiled and you're not. You see, I'm talking about persecution. These things just happen sometimes. Jesus said there, look what he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, meaning the religious rulers, the nation of Israel, they would have no sin. Now, he's not talking about that they would be innocent of sin. That's not what he means. But look what he says. But now they have no excuse for their sin. The religious rulers and even the world, even today, there's no excuse for their sins. What was their sin? Look at the next verse. He who hates me hates God, hates my Father also, rather. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they'd have no sin. But now they have seen, and they also hated both me and my Father. What is Jesus saying? What was their sin? It was the sin of not knowing God the Father, who they claimed to know. Do you understand? Even though Jesus is the Son of God, perfect, sinless, and he revealed God the Father to the nation of Israel, they rejected him. They hate him. They want to kill him. Jesus said in John 14:9, he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus revealed God the Father to the nation. They had seen his works. They saw and heard his word. Listen, no generation in the history of the world has been as privileged as that generation. Can you imagine seeing the miracles that Jesus did? I mean, they saw his works, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, the feeding of 5,000, the man healed at the pool of Bethesda, all of the incredible healings and the things that the Lord did. They heard him speak the word of God, all the things that occurred. And yet, they didn't realize that the Father's work was the Son's work and the Son's work was the Father's work. The Son's words were the Father's words and so forth. They didn't get it. They missed it. They rejected their own Messiah. And then Jesus says, but this happened for a reason, watch, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written, and look what Jesus does, in their law, in other words, in their own law, meaning the Old Testament, entire Old Testament. Here's the word from Psalm 69:4, which is a messianic psalm. They hated me without a cause. Jesus said, you know what? Your own scriptures, your own law, makes you stand before me self-condemned. You know, you're not obeying the word of God, which tells you you're not supposed to hate people. Amen? You're supposed to love the Lord thy God, and you're also supposed to love thy neighbor as yourself. They knew that, but they were not doing that. They hated Jesus during his earthly ministry. When Jesus was born of a virgin, the thing is, did they hate him then? They hounded Jesus, Herod and all the rest of them, wanted to kill him, and they finally did. They put him on a cross. My question is this, really and truly, why would anyone, if you just read the Gospels, why would anyone hate Jesus? Why? What harm did Jesus ever do to anyone? Anyone. He never lied. He never misjudged. He was a spotless, sinless Son of the living God. He was perfect. He never compromised. He spoke the truth of God in love. He went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. He never did anything, and yet he was hated. And you know why? He was hated without a cause, because the Bible says that was going to happen. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says about the Messiah, meaning our Lord, he is despised and he is rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. And then they say, Scripture says, we did not esteem him. That means they did not appreciate his worth. It is tragic when you see what man did to our Lord, isn't it? Remember in the Luke's gospel there at the very end, whenever Judas had betrayed him, I think it's chapter 23, but I may be wrong, and they betrayed him and they bound him and so forth, and Jesus looked at them and said, this is your hour, the hour of darkness. This is what all the devil can do. You have an hour, go ahead. you're going to beat me, you're going to spit upon me, you're going to scourge me, and you're going to nail me to a cross. But I've overcome this world. You know what, man? They weren't satisfied with just crucifying our Lord. They had to do all those things to him. They had to mock him. They had to put a covering over his face and beat him and then say, if you be the Son of God, prophesy, who smote you? Who hit you in the face right then? Why did they do that? Because man hates God. Do you understand? And because of that, they hate us. We're not of this world. We've been chosen out of this world, loved one. It's okay if they hate us. We don't want them to. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to love our enemies. That's not the emotion of love. That's obeying what God's called us to do. Amen? Because we love our Lord. Now listen, he says this, watch this, in verse 26. I love this. But when the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, when the Helper comes, Jesus says, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he, that's Jesus uses a pronoun. He doesn't say it or an essence or a force or a language. He says he because the Holy Spirit is a person. Amen. He will testify of whom? Of me. Did you see the Trinity there? You see the Father, you see the Spirit, and then the word me. There you, the Son, you have the Trinity. And Jesus, you're going to be hated, but guess what? I'm going to do something. In the midst of this hatred and this persecution, then and now, I'm going to send you the Helper. Earlier, Jesus said, I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. Listen, when did Jesus send the Helper to them? On the day of Pentecost, amen? The day that the birth of the church. Remember Peter in his first sermon that he preached when the church was birthed? He told them as he was preaching, he says in Acts chapter 2:32, it says this, this Jesus has God raised up, from which we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Remember, they were all speaking in other tongues and so forth, and all of the Jesus had seated, he was seated at the right hand of God now, and he poured out this Holy Spirit, the divine helper upon the people. And that was the 120, by the way, in the upper room. They were already born again, so it wasn't the new birth. It was the promise of the endowment from power, of the power from upon high. And then he says in verse 27, and you also will bear witness, or literally testify of me. And he tells us why. Because you've been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit now joins with the disciples, just like he's joined with us. You know, there can be no testimony about our Lord apart from the Holy Spirit being in us. Do you know that? Amen. That's why we want to share the Word of God. It's because we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, the witness needs to happen in every generation, not just that generation. Can we clear something up in case you think this way, I would like to clear some false thinking up. You are just as called as I am called. Just because I'm a pastor, I'm just fulfilling the office that God's called me to, amen? But I am no more called than you are called. Jesus says, listen, I have given you the authority and I have given you the capacity to change the world that you live in. Do you believe that? See, you're just as called as I am. I'm doing my job. Are you doing your job? Are you being the ambassador of Christ? Are you working and through the ministry of reconciliation that God has given unto you? Are you fishers of men? Are you telling people about the Lord? Are you bringing the lost and the hurting to church? Listen, you're just as called as I am. There's no hierarchy. We're all one. Amen? I'm doing my job. You go do your job. Now, with all that being said, the purpose of Pentecost, loved one, when the Helper came, what was it for? It was for the birth of the church, but it was also for world evangelism. Remember what Jesus said in Acts 1:8? He says this in Acts 1:8. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Comes upon you, not in you, upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of this earth. Listen, every generation needs to be the witness for our Lord. There's something that God wants us to do next year. I'm telling you, there's next year, I have plenty of time. Let me just say something about next year. Now, I already have the word. I already know exactly where, no, I don't know exactly what it means yet, but I'm praying through it. But let me say something to you. I think I mentioned it to the Wednesday crowd. I said that the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, what we do, this church, in 2018 is not only for you in 2018, but it's for what's coming in 2019. Now, that must mean, is the Lord going to tarry? Did I have too much pizza? You understand? I don't know. I mean, because I'm waiting on the Lord to come right now. Amen? However, if that word is true, and I believe it is true, and every day in my prayer time, the Lord gives me a little bit more, and I write everything down. This morning, same thing. I wrote everything down because I'm not sure how to teach what the Lord wants yet for the New Year's sermon. But I know this. If we do what the Lord is asking us to do, loved one, we, through him and his grace, can change this city, can change this county. Amen? Because we've been given the privilege of doing so. We really are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We really are ambassadors for Christ. You really are the called of God, the chosen of God. And yes, maybe people hate you. So what? It hurts. I know it hurts. I mean, you can get saved in a family. I remember when I came to the Lord. Listen, I had people, literally, I still have people. They hear on the radio and they go, I'm driving. I had such, they drive. We just came to see if it's real. You are different. You see, sometimes when you come to Christ, your family turns against you. They think, well, what happened to you? We like you better the other way. Oh, you like me all screwed up, all messed up, hugging a toilet at midnight, throwing up my guts from drinking? You like that? You like all that? No. No. You don't like Jesus because he exposes your sin. He says your deeds are evil. He says what you're doing is wrong. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're religious. I pray you're not. But if you're religious, you're in trouble. You have to have a relationship. Jesus has to be your Lord. Listen, what you say, well, Bill, why are you telling me this? I'll tell you why. The only plan that Jesus has for reaching the world that hates me, that hates you, is you. Do you understand that? The world hates us, okay? The world persecutes, okay? The only plan that Jesus has for those who hate and persecute you is you. There's not any other plan. Plan A, yes. Plan B, no. No other options. That's it. You are the world changers. Do you understand? You change the world. So, you know, if you're here and you're religious, man, listen, you need to get a life, the only life, and that's Christ Jesus. You can't overcome your sin, and you can't overcome hatred and bitterness or any of those things. Only Jesus can set you free. No one else can do that. Only the Lord. And that's what he wants to do. I mean free, where you can be at peace, where there's just a peace residing in your heart, where you're no longer struggling, whether there's life after death or, you know, does God really love me or will he really forgive me? No. Jesus said, when you come to me, old things will pass away and all things will become new. I pray this morning, if you do not know the Lord, that you will come to him. We're going to close with a song, and there'll be people down here at the altar after the song is over. Listen, you come down here. They'll pray with you. They love you. They want to introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you're being persecuted, loved one, in the workplace, rejoice. Oh, yeah, Bill. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to close with one more scripture because it's not even noon yet. That means you're getting out early. You should be rejoicing. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe the scripture that I'm about to read to you, or does this church pretend to believe the scripture that I'm getting ready to read to you? Let me read it. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:10, blessed, that means, oh, how happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, meaning your Christian lifestyle, because you represent Jesus, you act like Jesus. He said, oh, blessed are you when they, meaning those who hate you and persecute you, when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely, that verbal assault and false accusations. He says, and they do so for my sake, not your sake, but because you represent me and you do it in love. He says, listen to what Jesus says. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Do you know what that really means in the Greek? It means to jump up and start leaping all over the place because of what Jesus just said. That's the only place I think dancing is listed in the scripture. Do you believe that? And he says, and listen to me, he goes on and he says, for great, I love that word, for great is your reward, not on earth, but in heaven. Don't worry about those who persecute you. When that happens, look, say, Lord, show me the open door. Show me how, which way do I go to reach them, to win them? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Father, we praise you. We thank you that 2018 is closing in. Oh, Lord, next year, I believe, will be the greatest year in the history of Calvary Chapel, of this fellowship. The greatest year, Lord. I'm so expectant. Strengthen your people, Lord, and do so by them equipping their minds with the word, believing the word, acting upon the word. Let all discouragement cease. Those that are looking for direction, Father, I know you're going to manifest that to them. You'll lead them and you're going to guide them. For you, Lord, are our shepherd. We shall not want. You're always leading us. You're always guiding us. I pray you bless their homes, their families, their apartment homes, wherever they are, and fill them with your peace and your joy. Lord, bless us. And next year, Lord, let it be so clear. Let it be so clear in my heart what I'm to do, what this church is to do. We love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we do so in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our